Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester, and with me, as always, Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, that was an awesome week one of the NFL season.
Yeah, great week one, unless your team lost. From a sports atheist perspective, if you don't have a favorite football team, it was great. But if your team lost, like, the most devastating game of the weekend, I mean, I guess the Cardinals fans probably have just as much of a reason to be upset, but, you know, as a Jets fan, it was depressing.
I would say Carolina fans. I would say New Orleans fans. I would say a whole bunch of fans.
Right, but the
Cowboys
fans. The thing is, the Jets played a good team. All the teams you mentioned, other than the one I mentioned, played bad teams, basically. Like, if you play against Trevor Siemian, you should destroy that team, and if you don't, it's kind of your fault. Whereas if you play Andy Dalton and you outplay them and on offense you run at will and allow one sack, and on defense you don't allow them to run the ball at all and get seven sacks, you usually win that game.
Yeah, except that AJ Green has almost 200 yards.
Yeah, they couldn't
Darryl
stop.
Revis got very old very quickly.
Yeah, they couldn't stop
and
the pass.
And got no safety help.
Yeah, the safeties were clueless.
Yeah. All right, so why don't we jump right into the games like we did last year? We will preview week two games, not going in chronological order from Thursday night through Monday night, but from worst game to best game. Mm-hmm. So the worst game this week, I would say, is San Francisco at Carolina. San Francisco, despite being the biggest winner in week one, and by the way,
they're number one. Weren't they 32nd in our power rankings?
Yeah, but you know, both in 2014.
And if you looked at a complete standings right now, they're number one in the NFL.
Yeah, but both in 2014 and 2015, San Francisco opened the season on Monday night at home, blowing out a playoff team, a team that ended up making the playoffs that year.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the season, they won like three games. So
you know what they say? You know what they say, Chester?
The Rams are going to be a playoff team?
No, they say if you give Chip Kelly or Jim Tomzula or Jim Harbaugh 6 months to repair, there's no stopping them.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so San Francisco looked good, obviously, but it's really just a function of the Rams being so, so bad. We'll get to that. Carolina, of course, is a massive favorite in this game. They were a 14-point favorite before San Francisco's game Monday night, which is when you and I guessed these lines. You beat me on this one by one, because I thought it was going to be 10. You thought it was going to be 11, and it was actually 14. It's probably gotten out a couple points since then. But Carolina's had 11 long days to think about this, and they're going to kill San Francisco, right?
Yeah, they're going to destroy them. There was nothing I saw from Carolina that doesn't make me think that they won't win the Super Bowl. You know, week one of the season, Kelvin Benjamin hasn't played in 2 years, even though he played pretty well.
Yeah, he had a great game.
He was really good. But listen, that's frightening because they had no receivers last year, and you know they almost won the Super Bowl with Ted Ginn as their number one receiver. Basically, I think they will be fine. They will destroy the Niners, and maybe the Niners are a tiny bit better than we thought because there is some talent on defense. But I think Blaine Gabbert against that Panthers team is going to get ugly.
Yeah, and again, just given how good San Francisco looked in week one the last couple of years and how bad they were the rest of the year, I think we need to see more than 1 week of them before we think that they're going to be fine. Their defense was fine last year also.
There's no reason they should be good. No reason.
Yeah. Chip Kelly is probably an improvement over Jim Tomsula. It's hard not to be, but they're gonna need a lot more than that to be close in this game. The next game I have on this list is the other team we had at the very bottom of our power rankings, the Cleveland Browns. And they proved it. They went into Philly, which was like 29th on our power rankings, and got destroyed. And RG3 already out. He's already on IR. And so Factory of Sadness comes home to host the Ravens. I have this as the second to worst game. The Ravens favored by an enormous 6 points on the road. This is another game that you beat me against the spread. I thought it'd be much closer because the Ravens were not that impressive in week one, beating Buffalo, who looked, you know, Rex Ryan could be fired before the end of the month, before the Jewish holidays even.
Yeah, I was saying this to my grandfather earlier, like the Bills-Ravens game, I feel like we know less about those two teams than pretty much any other game because like maybe the Ravens are really good. And so like the Bills, you know, the fact that Tyrod Taylor was totally incompetent isn't a big deal. Or maybe the Ravens are terrible and like the Bills are an abject disaster. And we'll find out this week. We really don't know yet.
It's funny you say that because in my pre-week one power rankings, I had Baltimore at 19 and Buffalo at 20. And this week, both teams went down. Baltimore went down to 22 and Buffalo dropped to 26. So it's rare for both teams to go down at the end of a game. But it was just Baltimore didn't really impress me, and there were teams below them that leapfrogged them. Like Detroit and Tampa Bay and Miami, frankly. And obviously Buffalo looked like a train wreck.
But Josh, in terms of the Browns, like Josh McCown isn't a big downgrade from RG3. He might be an upgrade.
Okay. But not a downgrade from a team that lost by 19 to like the second or third worst team in the league. So Cleveland's terrible. This is a game that nobody should watch, even though it's a rivalry, of course, whenever the Ravens come back to Cleveland. I guess if Baltimore wins easily, then we still won't know yet if they're any good. We'll have to wait for week 3, right?
Yes, we won't know anything about the Ravens until at least next week. I think, it's gonna get late early for the Browns. They're gonna get killed in this game.
Yep. All right, the next worst game of the week: Tennessee at Detroit. Detroit with that very exciting win. That Tennessee-Detroit game was very the Indy-Detroit game was very similar to the New Orleans-Oakland game, for example. There was no defense whatsoever. Matt Stafford basically looked as good as Andrew Luck. That team looked pretty good even without Calvin Johnson. But, of course, Indy stinks. But, of course, Tennessee stinks. So, again, they're not – Detroit should win this game, and they'll advance to 2-0, but we still won't know if they're any good or not.
Right. You know, I was super high on Detroit, especially on their offense and Jim Bob Cooter, and their offense looks like it's going to be a force to be reckoned with. The problem is they're like a northern version of the Saints and the Falcons right now. I'd say this. If Tennessee can't move the ball on Detroit, then just write them off and give them like the first pick this year or the second pick, basically.
Yeah, it's. I was surprised. This line, actually, I guessed it. I was closer than you. You thought Detroit would be favored by 7. They're only favored by 5.5. So,
yeah, that's weird.
People are... Tennessee looked god awful against the Vikings. You know,
terrible.
That was a game. Yeah, I mean, that was a game where they were winning 10-0 at the half through a bunch of miracles and missed Blair Walsh field goals, and then in the second half until they got a touchdown with 20 seconds to go in garbage time, it was all punts and turnovers every single offensive possession.
Yeah, and I mean, they were letting Vikings receivers get open a lot. To me, it's the Vikings defense is really good, so.
Yeah, in week one to be shut down,
it's not like I'm not writing off Mariota as a quarterback, but for them to be able to, the Vikings moved the ball pretty well. They kicked a lot of field goals.
They missed a lot of field goals.
they attempted. So for them to move the ball at will, and it's clear that the Titans' strategy was just to try and shut down Peterson, which they did, but ultimately, I think that's not the way you play it in 2016.
Yeah. All right. The next worst game, Philadelphia at Chicago. So this is another game where we won't yet know. Well, first of all, this is a terrible Monday night game, but I'll say this. If Philadelphia comes into Chicago and wins, maybe Carson Wentz is a little bit for real.
Listen, he's already like better than 5 QBs in the NFL. Like what he did last week is already better than what Keenum is capable of, or McCown's capable of, or maybe even Fitzpatrick, or definitely Gabbert. I am curious. I think you rank this low, and the Bears are really a zero interest team right now because they sort of are what they are. They have no ceiling, right? Their ceiling is like if everything goes right for them this year, miraculously they get a 6th seed, which is even incredibly unlikely. But I guess
no. If everything goes perfect, they would be 7-9.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So I'm saying there's just no they're. Right now, the dullest team in the NFL, maybe. And it will be worth watching just to see what Wentz can do. I'm really loving I know we don't talk about fantasy too much here, but like I was very high in Jordy Matthews, and I feel like he's going to have a monster year now.
Oh, yeah. I got him also. I'm happy with that. Very inexpensive wide receiver, too, who looks like he might be even better than that. Yeah, so that's a game that I'm not really interested in.
ESPN next, really getting the shaft. I wonder when the first good game. I'm going to look at the Monday night schedule because
we made fun of this though. We were saying like in our preseason, like we do not understand why this game was on Monday Night Football in week 2. The only reason we said is because by week 2 we know that Cutler hasn't been injured yet because neither one of these teams should be on Monday Night Football.
I mean, it's so crazy how much money they spend for these awful games.
Yeah. Like, but you know what? It's
abusive relationship where like the NFL hates ESPN, but ESPN gives them so much money.
Oh, I thought you were saying that the NFL and ESPN hate the fans, but the fans give them so much money. Because
again,
do you want to hear
like the early season ESPN schedule?
Yeah, tell me week 3.
All right, so we had 2 atrocities in week 1. Week 3.
Well, Pittsburgh and Washington was supposed to be a decent game.
Right, sure. Week 3, but remember, Washington beat nobody last year.
Yeah.
Week 3, Atlanta at New Orleans.
It's a rivalry. There'll be no defense. So no it'll defense. Be like 35, I mean, it 32.
Could be. Yeah, that game could be like 51-45.
But it's two teams that. But it's two teams that don't matter.
Two teams that don't matter. All right, week four is a decent game, Giants Vikings. But again, you have Sean Hill, and with ESPN's luck, you'll probably get Ryan
Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford by then. You'll probably get Ryan Nassib. It'll probably be the first game ever that Eli misses. Then you have Bucks at Panthers, which actually might be a decent game. The schedule gets a little better. Jets at Cardinals is not a bad game, although the Jets schedule is so hard they could easily be 0-5 or 1-4 then, and it's not such a good game on TV.
All right, so after the first 3 weeks, it seems like they have pretty good games, actually.
Yeah, Texans-Broncos is the Brock Osweiler Bowl. Vikings-Bears isn't bad. All right, so it's not as bad. It just starts off really bad.
Yeah.
And Lions-Cowboys last week of the year might be a disaster, but who knows? Maybe both those teams are like 8-7 or 7-8.
All right, so back to week two. We have Seattle, who every year loses in St. Louis, and this year they're going to L.A. I just can't find it. Look, Seattle looked really bad, obviously, and Russell Wilson was injured in week one. Seattle, who we both had number one in our power rankings, I didn't know how far to move them down. I only moved them down to number six. They also tend to start slowly
the last couple of years. Yeah, this loss didn't scare me off them at all.
Well, no, they didn't lose, but they won by two at home against the Dolphins.
Yeah, yeah, first of all, the Dolphins' defense is pretty competent. Dolphins are a well-rounded, decent team. They're not well-rounded like the Bengals that don't have any weaknesses.
So again, every year the Rams in St. Louis would beat Seattle.
Uh-huh.
Can they do it in L.A.? I mean, they were so bad last week.
I mean, there were the Seahawks had a couple results last year that made no sense.
Well, but, like losing to the Rams every year.
Yeah,
much.
but now with Case Keenum, like I can't even like fathom how it would happen.
What do they do? Go to Mannion? I mean, they can't go to Goff. Like they have no options. Did you see their list of possessions? It was punt, 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 turnover, punt, 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 punt. I mean, that's god awful.
Yeah, against the defense that was probably considered league average before the year.
Yeah, what are they going to do against Seattle? Are they going to get the ball past midfield the whole game?
I mean, Keenum isn't this bad. Like, he's had some, moderate success in the NFL.
Tavon Austin, $42 million receiver.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, if you can't give a receiver $42 million if he's, like, undraftable in fantasy. Doesn't make any sense. Ballers,
which you're not watching, even though it's a fantastic show, the fictional receiver in that series, in this week's episode, his biggest contract offer is from St. Louis, from Los Angeles, from the Rams. And it doesn't really make sense why they're offering an old receiver $36 million. But that's basically what they did with Tavon Austin, and they're both sort of slot similar receivers. But at least the guy in the show has done something in his career. Tavon Austin's never done anything.
Yeah, he's a third receiver. Like, yeah. I'm a Jets fan. He'd be our third receiver. You're a Vikings fan. Like, you have a Tavon Austin. He doesn't step on the field. His name is Cordero Patterson. He runs an end around once a game.
Yeah, it really doesn't make any sense. Todd Gurley, the problem is that they're going to stack the box with nine guys in the box if Case Keenum can't keep defenses honest at all. So, yeah, that's going to be
Gurley might be Barry Sanders, and then there's just, like, no line and no quarterback, and we don't know it.
Well, but Barry Sanders was so good that he was, he was great anyways.
Right, yeah, so he's probably not Barry Sanders, but maybe maybe he's Barry Foster.
All right, next game on my schedule I have here in the rankings of goodness of games in week two, I have Atlanta at Oakland. No defense again in this game.
No defense.
But if Atlanta couldn't hold serve at home against Tampa Bay, going at Oakland, I just don't see how they're going to stay too close in this game.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders secondary is so terrible. Like, Julio Jones might get, have like 300 yards and four touchdowns in this game.
Yeah. As we predicted, Devonta Freeman.
The Raiders are a better team than the Falcons.
Yeah. Devonta Freeman has already basically lost the job to Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, of course, last year I picked Tevin Coleman in every fantasy league. He won the job and then lost it immediately in week one. This year, I got Freeman cheap all over the place, and it doesn't help. I think, and by the way, this won't be interesting to anybody, but like on ESPN, Freeman was going like 10th, and on Yahoo, Freeman was going 35th. I've never seen like such a big discrepancy in like the average draft order.
Wow. By the way, is it possible that Atlanta could start like 0-5? I mean, if that week
Atlanta's
one
not
home
good.
Tampa. But yeah, but that was the game they showed. Last year, they started 5-0.
Yeah, people were railing on Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan was totally fine.
Where are you going to put Dan Quinn in your coaching rankings?
Yeah, Dan Quinn has really fallen since the last. We won't do coaching rankings probably till, late October or something. But he's really fallen in my esteem. Del Rio has moved up a little bit. I love that gutsy call. even if you don't get it, I think that's a good call. You have to feel like you watch the game like. The Jets had a similar scenario. I've never really seen a team go for it. The Jets are down by one, and they have fourth and one from, I want to say, like the Bengals six. I could be off by a few yards. And they went for the field goal. And I don't think you go for it because they had been stopped on the goal line for like six plays in a row earlier in the game. And then they
Yeah, but the difference is that it's the New Orleans defense, which is like historically bad.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So you go by scenario. And I think, yeah, I think you were pretty confident there of being able to find Crabtree or Cooper or just run
it. The only possible argument I think there is for why Del Rio should not have gone for it is because by kicking the extra point, it's a tie game. And New Orleans had no timeouts left with 40 seconds to go, so you're probably sending the game to overtime, which, you know, is a 50-50 proposition. By going up one, you're forcing New Orleans to be aggressive and try and go down the field, which they almost did, frankly. But I don't think that's really relevant because I think at home with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, that New Orleans with 40 seconds to go would have been aggressive and try to win in regulation anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
So I don't really think that's too much of a concern. All right, so Atlanta at Oakland. Oakland should probably get the 2-0 in Atlanta. As I said, they might have a very rough September in store. All right, next on my list are two teams who both looked very good in losses, I think, and both could be in competition for or try and sneak into a sixth seed in the AFC. That's Jacksonville at San Diego. The Jaguars were basically neck and neck with the Packers, who are a lot of people's Super Bowl pick in the NFC. San Diego destroying Kansas City and then just collapsed in epic fashion, as only they can do. Really dispiriting. Do you come out of that game feeling good about San Diego that they were so close neck and neck on the road with the playoff team, or do you think, ugh, they blew it and it's going to be a long season?
I mean, it's you know, very hard to come back from such a blowing such a big lead in week one because you have nothing to build
on. Your best offensive player.
Yeah, and you lose Keenan Allen. Yeah. I need to see more from San Diego and Kansas City to really see what's going on. Like, did KC just wake up in the second half? You know, Andy Reid's teams are usually much better in the first half than the second half. I don't know what to make of the Chargers. Obviously, the Allen thing is bad, but Rivers has done this before a bunch of times without decent receivers. So Allen was almost a luxury to them. I think the Melvin Gordon breakout is a bigger deal for them.
He had no touchdowns his rookie year, and he got two in week one.
Yeah, I mean, and he ran for like 3.5 yards a carry. Like, he was halfway out of the league, and he looked really good. To me, Jacksonville is exactly what we thought they were. They can run the ball. You'll turn on the TV eight times.
Well, I think they're better than that. I mean, they were a play away from beating the Packers.
I don't know. Their defense isn't... I don't think their defense is good, although obviously we need to see it against the team that's, you know, with a QB.
Rodgers only had like 200 yards, and a couple of those were just insane plays that you can't blame the defense on. You know, that play at the end of the first half where he's getting dragged down and somehow throws a dark touchdown pass to Davante Adams. I mean, that you can't blame Jacksonville.
Bortles is just like a taller Ryan Fitzpatrick, though. He makes like so many dumb throws.
I mean, he throws a lot of picks, but that's a pretty harsh criticism, I think, for a young quarterback.
I mean, they move the ball every time, and then he like throws the ball 12 yards over Hearns' head.
Call him a taller Fitzpatrick, can you also call him a dumber Fitzpatrick? Because I don't think he went to Harvard.
No, Fitzpatrick's the dumbest guy in the league. He plays like the dumbest guy in the league. Fitzpatrick is the worst 2-minute quarterback I've ever seen. Like Geno Smith, I think Geno Smith is the worst QB in the NFL, and I think they should bring him in for the 2-minute drill because he's at least done. He did a few before back in the day, and Fitzpatrick has yet to pull off a 2-minute drill.
All right, we don't have to make our picks for our pick 'em pool yet. And by the way, in week one of the pick 'em pool, you did really good. You had 12 points.
Monster week for the Keeve dog.
Big win. I struggled. I went 9-7 in week one, and
you got
to
L.
L. Yeah,
took an L. But we play each other in week two, so we really we shouldn't tip off our picks to the other person.
Oh, because I was going to ask you who you're picking in Jacksonville at San Diego. Because again, San Diego doesn't really have much of a home field advantage. But you're not going to tell me. You're going to make me wait.
Yeah, no, now I can't. Sunday. No, we're picking against each other. Must win for you. You can't start 0-2.
All right. Now, next on this list, we have Miami at New England. You know, I don't know what to make of this game. New England obviously looked better than anybody thought winning in Arizona without Gronk. Garoppolo looked really good. Miami, meanwhile, also looked really good. They went into Seattle and, you know, lost a heartbreaker there, but their defense looked really good. You can't really judge Tannehill of the offense too much because they're going at Seattle. I just can't imagine Miami staying close in this game, but they did last week, so who knows?
I think that, you know, first of all, I think that Garoppolo in this game is going to have a lot of trouble with the Miami front seven. You know, the Patriots offensive line has really been a weak spot for the last year and change. I think I'm very nervous about this idea of New England starting 4-0, not because there's going to be this endless like Skip Bayless style Garoppolo versus Brady ridiculousness. That doesn't make me nervous. It's just like how insufferable the Bill Simmonses will be, you know?
If he's always insufferable. Yeah.
No, it's just like the whole crew, all of Boston. If they go 4-0 with Jimmy Garoppolo and then Brady comes back and he throws like for like 545 yards, six touchdowns.
You don't have to tell me. Listen, I was in Boston today and just seeing all those pink Red Sox hats all over the place drove me nuts.
Yeah, there's going to be some pink Patriots hats soon. I don't know. I'm almost rooting for Miami in that game. I think I missed the ball on Miami. I think Miami's pretty good
against the Patriots.
Miami's like a legitimate fifth, sixth spot in the AFC contender, I think.
Yeah, you actually said that in our preview, and I poo-pooed that. I said I thought they were hot garbage.
Can you imagine if they won the Super Bowl this year? I could still get a little bit of credit.
I'll give you some.
Yeah.
All right, next on the list, we have the other two teams in that division. Jets at Bills. This line shocked me. I had Buffalo only favored by 1.5. The Jets clearly look like the better team. You know, losing a heartbreaker to Cincinnati, a Super Bowl contender. Buffalo, as we said, looked like garbage. Rex Ryan looked like he might not have the job for long. And yet this line opened at 3. You got this on the nose. So Vegas thinks that these teams are even.
I think it's the Thursday night game is the great equalizer. That's what
is this going to be the color scheme like last year when these two teams played on Thursday night?
Yes, it is.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
But no, but
Christmas
it's not the
colors.
It's not the. But you remember last year was the colorblind people couldn't.
Yeah,
couldn't,
it was Christmas. Yeah, green and red. The Jets
are wearing white.
Oh, okay. So it won't be so bad. Okay,
it won't be so bad. Doing that color scheme again. The only team that is cool. I was actually on the. You know the UniWatch guy, Paul Lucas, I think is his name?
Yeah.
So I was on his Twitter feed today. He had all the jerseys. He was like rating all the jerseys. The Seahawks have a really cool one. The Bills' defense was really good. They didn't let the Ravens run. Not that the Ravens... I mean, the Ravens' starting running back literally got cut by the Ravens a week ago, so that's not the biggest feat in the world. But
they're waiting for Kenneth Dixon to come back from injury.
They were also totally... Reggie Bush had a great 3 carries for -4 yards. Like, they were totally unable to run the ball. LeSean McCoy... I mean, they have LeSean McCoy and Reggie Bush. Like, two guys are not going to be in the NFL next season. Those are their two running backs.
Sammy Watkins might be injured, although now he says he's playing, so who knows?
He's injured but playing, I think. Like, he's going to have to play through an injury.
Will Tyrod Taylor get benched at some point this season?
Yeah, the problem is that EJ Manuel is, like, absolutely an atrocity. So, like, who's coming in instead? The third QB is, I think it's some, like, sixth-round rookie or something. I forget who it is. But
well, Tyrod Taylor was a sixth-round draft pick. He came out of nowhere.
Yeah, but
by the way, our Bills fan in the preseason, Dale Hodge, his Facebook feed has been quite depressing.
Oh, it's Cardale Jones. Okay.
Oh, well, I don't know. He didn't go to school to learn. He went to school to play football, right?
Yeah. We got to get the scouting.
I just butchered the line from Ohio State, but yeah.
Yeah, we got to get the pro scouting report from Superfan Robbie on Cardale.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really want to see this game, but it's a decent game. It's two teams who,
the Jets are in must win mode. I mean, they have Seattle and Arizona coming up soon.
If the Jets don't win this one, they could be 0-5. So. All right, next we have a game that last year was a fantastic game, 52-49, I think was the final. And if it's any indication from week one, it'll be similar this year. New Orleans at the Giants.
What number ranked game is this?
7.
Oh, wow. That's pretty
too
good
low,
considering.
Too high?
Yeah, I mean, these are Chester's rings. Maybe we'll switch off and I'll rank them next week. But, like, yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, how much it matters, it's not a super relevant game, but... It's gonna be
fantastic
to watch.
The Giants are definitely in the driver's seat for that division.
Oh no, the Giants are a relevant good team, but I feel like
I just
Saints
think this
are,
will be this was an exciting
relevant.
Game last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Giants defense may have taken a step up where the Saints aren't gonna be able to fling the ball around the field all game.
Both teams had great games in week one, exciting games in week one, although that's true for almost every team in the league.
I mean, Drew Brees is really amazing. Like, that team is terrible. And he's making Willie Snead look like Andre like Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, Willie Snead did look quite good. All right. Next, I have a game that is lower than we thought it would have been a week ago, but Indy really shit the bed in week one, and that's Indy at Denver.
Yeah, Indy is awful. I mean, right Indy off right now. That team stinks.
Oh, wow. Well, but they're offensively they're good. Andrew Luck.
I mean, they
good.
Might win the division, but only if like Osweiler gets hurt and they win it at 6-10.
Do they have any chance to stay? Remember when Peyton Manning was around and Denver was going 13-3 every year? Denver was still losing to Indy. So what happens with Trevor Siemian? Does he get to 2-0?
I mean, it's weird, right? Because like Denver from 2-53 is a zillion times better than Indy, but it is Andrew Luck who looked amazing last week versus Trevor Siemian. Like,
yeah,
like maybe
I didn't know what to do with this game because on the one hand. You think, well, this is a terrible game. Denver's going to blow them out. On the other hand, I don't know. I think that the Luck can score points even against Denver's defense.
Luck's going to have a tough time getting the ball off, I think, against the Denver front seven.
Yeah. Will they play as dirty as they did against Cam Newton? Do you think the NFL will be a little bit on notice after week one?
Probably, but I mean, it doesn't matter.
The refs cannot permit. I mean, it's insane. You know, the crazy stat I heard is Cam Newton, obviously against the Broncos, there was not a single roughing the passer. There was not a single personal foul call against a player against Cam Newton. But the crazy thing is that the entire 2015, there was not a single one against Cam Newton.
That is crazy.
I mean, Cam, it's really unfair for the MVP to get such bad, you know,
no, I mean, Brady
unfair
gets,
officiating.
Do you think it's racist? What, like, what do you think it is?
No, I don't.
I'm being serious.
You know, obviously, if you breathe on Tom Brady, it's a 15-yard penalty.
That's what I'm saying. Brady gets every call.
It's kind of like Shaq, I think, partly because Cam Newton is so big and so
athletic.
Yeah,
I think you're probably right. I think that's. I think a lot of it is because it, like, it doesn't hurt him. Like, he just bounces back up.
To be perfectly honest, subconsciously, does race play a role? It probably does a little bit, whether, you know, obviously the NFL and the refs would never admit it.
Well, but. he should get the MVP treatment at this point that Brady does since he's the MVP.
I mean, the craziest thing, and again, this is not a new take at all.
But
especially,
but Luck's getting
a week
that treatment
later,
this week. Luck is getting that treatment for sure.
But yeah,
fine.
But Luck
knocks
also,
Luck out.
Luck
cares?
Isn't
going to
batter. That offensive line stinks. That offensive line is much worse than Carolina's. So he won't have any time.
Miller and Ware are going to be, you know, setting up shop in their backfield, and they can't run the ball. I would lean towards picking Denver in that game.
Yeah, I mean, so will I. I'm just wondering if it'll be close. I think it'll be closer than people think. I mean, you obviously do because...
But it wouldn't blow my mind if Indy won just because, again, it's Trevor Siemian in his second game versus Andrew Luck.
Yeah. Guessing the lines, I got this one exactly right. It's 6. You actually guessed it before, so you think it'll also be probably be pretty close, right? Just because it's Trevor Siemian against Andrew Luck.
I mean, we don't know... Like, Simeon stinks. Like, we know that he's not good.
Yeah, well, he was competent in week one, but...
I think we're going to see Paxton Lynch sooner than later.
Okay. All right. Next on this list, I'm surprised I have this game so high. Last year, they played on Monday night. I was in New Orleans watching this game in some random bar. Dallas at Washington.
This game should be 12th. Yeah, that's
yeah. Both of these teams look terrible in Week One. I just feel like the winner of this game will, you know, compete with the Giants for the division. I guess.
It's a little bit of an eliminator. It is definitely a must win for both teams. Like the Dallas can't do what they did next year. They can't do what they did last year and keep losing until Romo.
Neither team can start 0-2, especially if the Giants are going to get to 2-0 against New Orleans.
Who would you rather have for this season, Dak Prescott or Kirk Cousins?
Right now?
Yeah.
So Kirk Cousins, as we discussed, through like three games into last year, relative to his era, was the most intercepted quarterback in the history of the NFL. Then the last 13 games of last year, he just threw zero picks. Or literally, I think he threw like two. It just unbelievable reversal. And then in week one this year, again, back to throwing two picks, looking terrible, looking lost. He's getting paid $20 million. Prescott wasn't great. Prescott was checking it down. I mean, it was like Cole Beasley and I think Jason Witten just over and over and over.
And Terrence Williams.
Yeah.
How mad were you at the Terrence Williams play when you were watching live?
Well, it was just, again, I didn't think it really mattered. It was a stupid play, obviously, but it didn't really matter. They're not going to. He's not going to trot out there and kick a 64-yard
field
goal.
The great Dan Bailey's not going to kick one.
Yeah, but this is the thing, and I had Dez Bryant on my fantasy team last year, and he was either injured or playing, but injured, and it was just so frustrating to watch him game after game get one catch for 8 yards.
Yeah.
But then that's what he did in week one this year, so...
Yeah, I don't have him I have 6 fantasy teams, by the way, and I don't have Dez Bryant on any
team. Oh, yeah, he was a stay away from me. I was just burned. The Dez Bryant experience was not a pleasant one last year. But I don't know. This game has got to be... I should call an audible. This game has got to be moved way down the list. It's an elimination game, but that's the only reason to watch it. You just want to see the result. This is not a game I want to watch more than 10 minutes.
I want to watch all these games, by the way. There's no game this week that I don't want to watch.
Yeah, it's football. That's right. I'm hungry for football. That's true. All right, up to number 4 on my list. And
it's almost
this
over.
Been...
Like, we only have 16 weeks left, and there's 11 dumb playoff games that neither of our teams are going to be in.
All right, number 4 on this list would not have been in the top 8 a week ago, but Tampa Bay at Arizona. Tampa Bay 1-0, Arizona 1-1. You would not have guessed that after week one. Tampa Bay looked really good. You know, on the other hand, they beat Atlanta by one score, and we said Atlanta's not any good. But Arizona, is it time to you know, ring alarm bells for Arizona that they couldn't beat a Gronk and Brady-less Patriots at home?
No, I mean, it's Belichick with 6 months to repair. No, go out and beat Tampa Bay this
week.
6 months
to repair. Gronk was playing until like 3 days before.
Yeah, look, the Gronk is never in there though. Listen, they had plenty. The point is they had Garoppolo. They knew Garoppolo was playing all summer.
All right, so you have no concern for the Cardinals.
I'm definitely concerned. They're really old.
You picked Tampa to make the playoffs, so you were excited with week one, obviously.
Yeah, no, listen, everything I said, I mean, if you go back and listen to our preview now, it's like listening to the words of, you know, someone who knows, knows what's going to happen in week one. Tampa's really good. Listen, if Arizona loses to Tampa by one, I'm still not writing them off, you know?
So Arizona can start 0-2, but you'll say, oh, well,
yeah, the problem is like Palmer's going to get hurt at a certain point.
Super Bowl teams.
Palmer's going to get hurt at a certain point, and then what?
Well, then they really are in trouble.
Yes,
but Palmer did not look very good in week. You know,
no, and again, he's old. Like sometimes you just lose it. Maybe he's losing.
I think it's the Jake Delhomme thing. When you throw that many interceptions and look that bad in a playoff game, maybe the next year you're just, you know.
And the Cardinals should lose. Like Arizona should lose their NFL team. Like you could get a ticket. I'm seeing here. For $24.
It's not just that. It's no matter who they play, 40% of the crowd is rooting for the opposing team.
And
it's one
Tampa
thing if
Bay.
It's the Cowboys.
And like, they don't have any fans. There's like 8 Scientologists who fly in from Tampa Bay. Like it really it's crazy they can't support a team. Like I assume the Diamondbacks, who are, you know, the worst franchise in baseball right now,
Excuse me.
As a Twins
fan.
Yeah, in the NL. And like the Suns
and
are
the Braves.
And the Suns are so bad. Like, well, how depressing will it be if the Cardinals
the
start getting old? Oh, yeah, the Coyotes are bad too. Like, how the Arizona sports scene could get real ugly.
Yeah. Oh, it is ugly. I think that the Cardinals should move back to St. Louis now that they lost their team.
It's a good idea.
I also like the idea of there being St. Louis Cardinals in two sports.
Oh, that's confusing.
You know, the way that there used to be New York Giants in two sports. Well, no, I don't think so. I think it's great. I love the fact that, you know, Pittsburgh, all the teams have the same color scheme.
Yeah, but what if they move back, but they're like the Missouri Cardinals?
Well, I like how some people like, you know, some people like Will Leach, like some people from St. Louis are still Cardinals fans. Even though in the interim, the Cardinals moved 30 years ago to Arizona. And also,
yeah, but history was kind
team.
To that. If he was a Rams fan, that would have sucked for him.
Well, if he was a Rams fan, he would have got a Super Bowl in 1999 at least.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if history's been kind. It has not been great being a Cardinals fan the last 30. I mean, they did go to Super Bowl with Kurt Warner, but, you know, they have not been a very good team. Well, okay, so that's number 4 on my list. Number 3 on my list, Kansas City at Houston. So, these are two teams that we thought both of these teams were sort of, you know, 4th or 5th, 6th best teams in the AFC, definitely playoff contenders coming into the year. Houston basically held serve in week 1. KC ultimately did. Terrible first half, great second half.
This is the opposite of Giants Saints, where
It's not so exciting to watch, but it's two good teams in theory.
It's two decent teams that have good chance of making the playoffs, but
much tougher test for Osweiler than the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, people were really down on Osweiler.
Yeah, Spencer.
I'm thinking about writing something about the NFL announcers as like my next writing project. So if any listener hears anything really stupid, or I guess really smart, like anything really egregious that any announcer says, like tweet or email at me, tell me like the, you know, give me the situation and the announcers and tell me what they
say. You heard Kevin Harlan's radio description of the idiot on the field in the late Monday night game, right? That was great. Kevin Harlan, of course, was the Timberwolves radio guy when I was growing up before he went national. And especially early 90s Timberwolves before KG showed up, that was a really tough game to make interesting. And I used to listen to every single Timberwolves game on the radio every night down in my room in the basement of my house in Minnesota while I was doing my homework. And Kevin Harlan was just, before he went national, he was so entertaining. He'd make up these ridiculous stories and be overly theatrical the way he was with the idiot on the field. So that really took me back like 25 years. I miss Kevin Harlan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of Kevin Harlan. So back to this game. Kansas City, at a certain point, we have to realize it might not be Jamaal Charles. It might just be the system. Last year, it was Charcantic West and Spencer Ware looked fine. This, you know, in week one, Spencer Ware also looked really good. So Jamaal Charles can take a while to get back. I don't think Kansas City really misses him too much.
I mean, it's two different systems. I mean, Charles has had many years where he's averaged over 5 yards a carry. I'm not saying he's not good.
I'm not saying he's not good. Here's an analogy. As I said with the Vikings, you know, losing Adrian Peterson would not be a big deal. Losing Teddy Bridgewater was a huge deal. And I think it's the same with Kansas City. Jamaal Charles is their best player offensively, but losing him, not a big deal. Whereas if they lost Alex Smith, they'd be in much more trouble, I think. All right, that's Kansas City at Houston. And now we have, there's two great games this week, obviously. Two division rivalries, two teams that have met not just in the regular season, but in the playoffs in the last couple of years. The first one, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, is stuck as a regular 1 p.m. game, so it's not getting any extra
love.
So this
is your number two game of the week?
Yeah, I could hear an argument for number one. I just put the other game at number one just because of the fact
you're
that...
You're a giant Vikings homer, and nobody wants to see the Vikings play with Sean Hill.
Well, first of all, it's Sam Bradford, but also it's, you know, the debut of their new beautiful stadium.
Is Bradford playing this week?
Well, we'll get to that. We're talking about Cincinnati and Pittsburgh first.
Cincinnati,
Pittsburgh. Obviously, Pittsburgh could not have looked better in week one. Yeah. Martavis Bryant, no problem. No Le'Veon Bell, no problem. No defense, no problem. But Cincinnati, you know, again, they went into New York, which was a pretty good team. They got the win despite a lot of issues that you talked about. You know, they could not protect Dalton at all, but he'll have a lot more time against Pittsburgh's defense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, the Jets have two exceptional players. The crazy thing about the Jets getting seven sacks is Sheldon Richardson. I mean, last year he was suspended a lot, but 2 years ago he was one of the best players in the NFL. Like, Sheldon Richardson comes back healthy, and they're totally unblockable. You know, so Cincinnati's not going to face that again unless they play St. Louis, which they don't again this year. To me, Pittsburgh was the best team in week one. I feel like they almost have to be number one in every power rankings. Like, you talk about the system. Like, Le'Veon Bell's great. D'Angelo Williams is like the number one running back in the NFL till Le'Veon comes back. It's crazy.
Yeah, but in fantasy. But he was like that last year also. But then he's a complete zero once he comes back, because Mike Tomlin plays only one running back all three downs all the time. Yeah,
makes no sense. It's insane.
Yeah, but especially when you have a guy who's getting injured all the time. Why not spell him once in a while? But he refuses.
Yeah, spell him.
Very odd. Yeah, so Pittsburgh, I had them at 8 in my preseason power rankings, which was actually, like, DVOA had them at 4, ESPN had them at 2, SI picked them to win the Super Bowl, and I didn't understand it because their defense was so bad, because they were missing a lot of their weapons offensively, but slight mea culpa by me. I didn't move them up to number 1, I moved them up to number 4. I have Cincy at 5, so this is the highest rated game in terms of the both teams in week 2, and I think we'll learn a lot. If Cincinnati can go into Pittsburgh and win, that's 2 tough road wins against winning teams. They really show that they are back to where they were before it all got injured last year. And if Pittsburgh blows Cincy out, then at that point, I'll probably have to put them at number 1. I'll probably have to acknowledge that I was wrong in my preseason ranking of them.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game.
All right, so let's get to the game of the week. Green Bay at Minnesota. So here's the weird thing about this game.
Nobody else would call. First of all, like, I know you wait all week for Sunday night. You don't even watch the 1 and the 4 o'clock games. You're just so excited for the Sunday night football. I know you hate those ads. You know that the late game did like 7 million more viewers than the Sunday night game this past week, like the 4 o'clock game.
I did not know that. But
anyway, nobody wants like. With Teddy Bridgewater, this is probably, you know, the number two game of the week after Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. You can make a case for number one. With Hill Bradford, this is, like, not in the top 5 this week.
Well, so here's the weird thing about this game. You know, Green Bay and Minnesota, last year the Vikings were better than Green Bay. They won the division over them. They beat them in Green Bay, of course, to win the division. And then in week one, the Vikings were better than Green Bay. Green Bay struggled, won a coin flip basically over Jacksonville. The Vikings, despite their kicker missing a million field goals, despite no running game, despite a whole bunch of problems, they destroyed Tennessee. And yet, despite all of that, the Vikings, who before the season were favored in this game, if you were looking at advanced betting odds, now they're 2.5-point underdogs at home. And I don't disagree with any of that, actually. It's like, it's weird that a team is favored, they do better in week one, the other team does worse, and now they're underdogs. It's sort of a weird thing. And I guess it's just because you look at the quarterback matchup, sort of like what we're talking about with Luck against Simeon.
So you should be going to this game, right? Aren't they debuting the new stadium?
Yeah, my dad called me to tease me to say that he had tickets on the 50-yard line, and then I looked up tickets to fly to Minnesota for this game, and I was about to click purchase on the ticket, and I said, oh, by the way, how did you get the tickets? And he said, well, I didn't get them yet, but they're on StubHub for $1,500. I'm like, you idiot. I literally was about to purchase these flights to fly to Minnesota.
Yeah, I see the get-in is $242 to that game. You know, one of the highest regular season get-ins you'll see.
Well, that's the debut of a new stadium. Here's the thing. The Vikings, Sean Hill was very competent in week one. His passes were wobbly, but Peyton Manning's passes were wobbly in 2014, and he was getting the job done. He had one bad miss where he missed Stephon Diggs in the end zone, who was up. By the way, Stephon Diggs looks really legit as a number one wide receiver. Yeah. Meanwhile, yeah. Laquon Treadwell, the
as
first
legit
round draft
pick, as Treadwell is like basically.
Yeah, could Treadwell didn't right even now. Get on the field. Like Adam Thielen was their not second best sign. Receiver. Yeah.
Not a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, it's 1 week, but I'm a little bit nervous. It could be another Cordell Patterson situation. I hope I'm wrong.
I mean,
anyway.
Your schedule gets really tough right now, so if you could win this game, it would be nice.
Yeah, so this is the thing. The famous Josh Freeman game where, in my memory, they traded for Josh Freeman from Tampa like 2 days before that game, and that my memory is, of course, clouded by the fact that it was the worst quarterback game in the history of the NFL. He was actually on the team for 14 days at the time of that game, which I didn't realize because they traded for him and then they had a bye. So that really sort of surprised me. Sam Bradford, as of this game on Sunday, will have been on the Vikings for 15 days. So on the one hand, I'm like, he's really not prepared, even though the Vikings are saying all kinds of things about, oh, he's the smartest quarterback I've ever seen, which I don't buy for a minute and spin. So I wouldn't mind if they went with Sean Hill, but the reality is that you don't trade a first-round pick and another pick for a guy and open your brand new stadium on national TV. You're not doing all that and debuting Sean Thrill. So right. Sam Bradford is going to be the quarterback. And I don't know how I feel about that. I've never been a Bradford fan at any other stop. Now I'm forced to be one. On the other hand, the Vikings defense is really good. They force turnovers. They score themselves. They get pressure on the quarterback. You know, Aaron Rodgers was saying how the toughest opponent for him in the NFL is a Mike Zimmer defense, whether it's in Cincinnati or Minnesota. So I'm excited to see the Vikings against Aaron Rodgers, even though I'm a bit nervous because Xavier Rhodes, our top corner, was injured in week one, and apparently he's going to miss week two as well. And Trey Waynes, talk about first-round draft picks who have struggled. Trey Waynes is a rookie, really did not play very much. And in week one against Tennessee, at least in the first half, Marcus Mariota targeted him a few times. So if Marcus Mariota is targeting you, what the hell is Aaron Rodgers going to do to you?
Yeah, I think... I don't want to give my prediction for this game, but I do think the what's it called? You're overrating the level of interest, but now I'm kind of intrigued. I think, listen, you got to get used to Bradford. He's going to be your quarterback next year.
I think Sam Bradford's debut makes it more intriguing to people because people want to see,
Maybe. Bradford. He's like the least interesting guy in the league, though.
He's had every excuse made for him in the book, right? In St. Louis, in Philadelphia. At a certain point, you run out of excuses.
Yeah. I think he ran out of them.
Yeah. It's crazy to say this, but I would rather Sean Hill be our quarterback on Sunday night.
All right. Well,
anyways,
the thing is, it's impossible to go from Bradford back to Hill. So you may as well give Hill another game to see what he has.
Yeah. That's how I kind of feel. I kind of feel like let Hill play until he's bad enough that you turn to Bradford. Don't just give it to Bradford. But again, they've invested so much in Bradford that they're obviously going to give it to Bradford.
Yeah. They'll give it to him.
By the way, if he has a decent game, I'm definitely buying a Sam Bradford jersey on Sunday night.
I'm glad you're entertained.
Yeah. Is that it? This is a pretty pretty truncated week one podcast.
Well, I think this is how they go. I think we're able to keep these the week podcasts under an hour. And we could always throw in when we're less busy, maybe in a few weeks into the season, we could do something like a non-football one during the week also, but I think we generally kept these under an hour. They're not as long as the other podcasts. I'm super pumped for the thing is my team is on the verge of not mattering this year if they lose week two. But in general, the NFL with seasons, you've had a few of them where your team is out of it are really depressing.
Yeah,
you know, it's like week five and you're like not really in the league anymore. You know, you're like 0-4 and. So hopefully we won't have one of those seasons. But right now, week one couldn't have gone better. Everyone's equally good to the other team. So anybody could win this week.
All right, Kiva. Well, good luck to your team in week two.
Worst of luck to your team.
Man, that's harsh. What are you, an Aaron Rodgers fan? Have you come up with a sign-off yet?
What did I say? I like shut up? What did I don't remember what I said. Go away?
I don't know. Can one of our listeners give a Kiva sign-off?
Yeah, someone give me a sign-off.
It's really awkward, his lack of a sign-off right now.
Get better soon, Teddy. How about that?
Coming up to God's ears to Teddy's legs. All right. Talk to you later.